Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to be looking at verse 1 through 6 is what we're going to be looking at here tonight. And last week we discussed the truth that we found in verse 1 and 2. If you can recall last week's message, we saw how God, before He began to give the law in this form here, He stated who He was and what He had done for them. Now, He was reminding them of who He was and what He had brought them through and all of those things. And we discussed some truths. And of course, the first truth that we discussed last week was that God did not do this to prove who He was. He did not do this to prove that He was God. God does not have to prove that He's God. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, we all know that He's God. We know that there is one God, and praise the Lord that He is kind and gentle with us anyway. Amen. When we transgress against Him and all of those things, He always shows so much grace that we don't deserve. He did not do it so that it would prove that He was God. He did it to remind them, to bring His existence, if you will, to the front of their minds. He did this so that they would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is the one who brought us through these things that we went through. He reminded them of where they had come from. We're going to be reading through these verses here, and it's important for us to know what we learned last week and about who God is. Remember where He's brought you from, where He's brought me from. He said, I am the I am, and now He will begin giving the law. And notice where it starts. It starts where everything should start. It begins with God. Here in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to start reading in verse 1, read down through verse 6. Notice the Bible says this, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the sea. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight, and Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We never want to take Your Word for granted, Lord. And I do pray that even a familiar passage like we are reading tonight, Lord, the passage of the Ten Commandments, Lord, I pray that You would do a work in our lives. I pray that we would not, Lord, just put it on mute just because we already know this story. We know what's going on here. But Lord, I pray that You would speak to our lives tonight. I pray we draw closer to You. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know You as their personal Savior, they'd come to know You tonight. Lord, and also on the live stream as well. Lord, there's some that cannot be with us due to illness and those types of things. And Lord, I do pray that You would just restore them to full health. I pray they'd be able to be back with us very soon. Lord, I ask Your blessing upon this message and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, here in chapter 20, oftentimes, if you meet someone that knows anything about the Bible, even if it's very little, if you ask them, what are the Ten Commandments? Well, they would be able to say most of them, if not all of them, in some form or another. Why? Because it's posted in a lot of people's homes and all these types of things. There's all these little knickknacks and things you put on the shelf and all of these things that are little portraits and like of the Ten Commandments. And it's something that people are very familiar with. But as we look at these Ten Commandments, we see that the first four deal with man's relationship with God, and the final six deal with man's relationship with man. I'd like to preach to you a message tonight that I've entitled this, No Other Gods. Of course, the gods that we're talking about there are the small g God, amen? No other gods, nothing in place of God Himself. These Ten Commandments, they are the first and foremost statutes given to Israel by God, and they set the stage, if you will, for all other laws. The number 10 in regard to the Ten Commandments is only found in one other place in Scripture. That's in Exodus chapter 34. Turn over there, if you will. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28. Notice it says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." Notice it is written there. They were on two tables of stone. Notice in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 1. Notice it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest." Now, we know, of course, Moses, he let his anger get the best of him there, and we'll be getting to that soon here in our study, but he broke the first set, and the Lord God Almighty said, well, hew out another set, and I'm going to pin him down on that as well. And so we see that there, that it was on two tables of stones. Christ also in the book of Matthew, turn there if you will, the book of Matthew chapter 22, he also speaks of these things. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ, he says here, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." You see, the first four commandments that we are going to see, they all have to do with man's relationship with God. And Jesus Christ, he says here that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then notice, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, the truth of the matter is, on the first and great commandment, that is, of course, dealing with those first four that are talking about our relationship with God, and the last six, well, that is man's relationship with man. And if we obey the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself," then we will not be guilty of committing the sin or breaking those last six commandments. Why? Because we love our brother. You see, it goes hand in hand there. We know that these commandments, they were given to the people from the mouth of God. Look back in Exodus chapter 20. Didn't know we were doing a sword drill tonight, did you? But Exodus chapter 20 and verse 22, notice what it says there. Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven." Notice God is speaking to the people here, over here in chapter 20 and verse 1. "And God spake all these words, saying," it was straight from the mouth of God. And then we'll go to one other place. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 22. Notice it says this, "The words of the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount in the midst of fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me." Notice verse 23, "And it came to pass when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of the tribes and your elders." And notice verse 24, notice what they thought of this. "And ye said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have," what? "Heard his voice." Notice there, they heard the voice of God out of the midst of the fire. "We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. So this is the very mouth of God speaking to God's people here. And can you imagine being there as they heard the mouth of God? And if you're anything like me, you say, wow, that would be great, hearing the voice of God speaking to us. But we have the very words of God right here. And He longs to speak with us from this Word. This is given to us by God Himself. This is what we're reading here tonight in chapter 20, was a direct communication between God and His people. The Bible that you have in your lap, at least you should have one here tonight, amen? The Bible that we have is a direct communication between God and us. What He wants us to know about Himself. And He immediately addresses the false gods that so many people, every man, every woman, that all of us are so guilty of turning to. So again, preach you a message I've entitled, No Other Gods. First of all, tonight I want you to notice the place of the commandment. The place of the commandment. Look at verse 3, if you will. Notice it says there, of course, God speaking here, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now we know, of course, because of past sermons, that the children of Israel, they're in the Sinai Peninsula here. They're at the base of Mount Sinai. And they are standing there in this place that we have said is a natural amphitheater, if you will. And this place that they are standing, that is not the place that I'm talking about tonight. When I say the place of the commandment, I'm not talking about geographically speaking. I'm talking about the place of this commandment in accordance to all the other commandments. Notice where this one sits. God, when He gives the law to man, He starts out immediately saying, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He didn't start out with thou shalt not kill or steal or anything like that. He said, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. You see, it deals with how man should reverence God. That's why this order here is so important, because without God in His rightful place here, and then of course also in our lives, without Him in His rightful place, all of these other commandments would be in vain. If we're not serving God the way that we should be. Each one of us, we have seen people who were lost and living in sin. Maybe they were breaking the law. They were in and out of jail. And what have we said many times? Well, they need the Lord. Now, we've said that many times about people who are obviously living in sin. Some people may say, well, they need help in this area. Well, if they were just better off financially, then they wouldn't be doing these things. And they come up with this whole list of what they need. And we as believers, of course, we don't know. The only way to get them away from that sin is they need the Lord God Almighty. They need to turn to Him. Why is that? Because until they turn to Him and trust His guidance, they'll continue down that path of sin. Because that's what the flesh wants to do, that path of destruction there. Turn over, if you will, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Notice here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and of course, keeping in our mind the place of this commandment here, notice verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. You see, God has to be first and foremost in everything that we do, in everything. He is supposed to be the one that we follow. There's all these programs that are designed to try to help people, and I understand that some people may get some help from them, and I'm not mocking the program itself, but in most of these programs, the issue is man will go through this program, and when he graduates or passes whatever he needs to do to get out of that program, we would say out of man's eyes, wow, they're doing better. But then so many times they fall back into that sin, they fall back into that thing that was dragging them down. Why is that? Because we don't need man's help. We need the help of God. We need to turn to God. The truth is, without God, man will do that which is right in his own eyes. Now, I know, speaking here, of course, we're in farmland, amen? As I was preparing this sermon here and writing this illustration, if you will, I was thinking of Freddie McMichael back here. You have a pig farm, right? A lot of pigs. Me and the family were able to go down and look at all these pigs. I've never seen that many pigs at one time. Out of bacon form, of course. I've seen a lot of bacon in the market. But you go down there, and of course, when you look at pigs at any farm, I think of my uncle. He had a pig farm. Now, it was not as nice as the one that the McMichaels have, okay? The one that they have is wonderful. I was looking at that and said, wow, this is great. Well, the one that my uncle had, it was not as well kept, to say the least. And these pigs, of course, they stink. Just what pigs do. I don't know how bacon tastes so good coming from an animal that smells like that, but it's good, amen? Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but pigs are unclean animals. Pigs do not thrive as far as in their mind. They do not thrive in a clean environment. No, they want to be where the dirt's at. They want to be where the mud is. That's where pigs want to be. These hogs that my uncle had, they would have a place in the barn there. They had a place outside where there was all these gates and all, where they could go out and lay in the mud and whatever they wanted to do. And inside the barn, they had this beautiful place of all this clean hay laying there. It was kept nice. And those pigs would rather be laying outside in the mud than they would in that hay. And even if you took one of those pigs and you took them away from that mud, and you gave them a bath, and you cleaned them up, and you made them smell good, and all of these things, and you can look at them and say, wow, that is a clean pig. When you let him go, do you know where he's going to go? Right back to the mud. Why? Because that's how he's made. Because that's where he wants to be. You see, mankind, apart from the Spirit of God, is the exact same way. Now, we may not go to literal mud, but we go to the mud of sin. And you see, if we do not have this in its right place, it's having no other gods before God Almighty. If mankind cannot get that straight, then mankind will always return back to sin. As individuals, except for the grace of God, that's where we would be. We'd be there in the muck and in the mire. That's why we must be telling people that God loves them and He cares for them. Too often we care about the outside more than we care about the inside. You see, if mankind will turn to God and will trust God for his soul's salvation and understand that there is no other God before God and we cannot put anything before Him, if mankind can get to that point, then we would be living differently. But it's getting there. God has to be first and foremost in our lives. First of all, notice the place of the commandment. Notice, second of all, the peculiars of the commandment. You know, I think all of us would agree that as we read through the Bible, we would see that there are many pagan gods. We would see that there are many pagan gods there in Egypt. We read about those, and most of the plagues that happened there, of course, God perfectly orchestrated these plagues there. And many of them, to the Egyptians, they were a slap in the face, because the item of the plague, whether it be the frogs or the flies or anything else that was going on there, it was a picture of the god that they served. They had the god, they had the frog head, and the flies, and all of these different ones that they were serving. It was a picture of a god in Egypt. And paganism is a wicked sin. You know, there is a a lot of pagan rituals all over the world. There's Hinduism and Buddhism and the Muslim religion and Catholicism and all of these different ones that pray to or worship any god or any all of this group of God, and they'll put the Most High God. They'll say, well, He's in there as well. I think of the Hindus, when you walk into a Hindu house, or you go into a place that is obviously practicing Hinduism, you'll see all of these statues all over the place. And if you were to tell them about God, they would say, oh, that sounds great. And they would carve out a statue of what they think that God would look like, or what they think that Jesus would look like. And they would place it on the shelf right next to all the other ones. Why? Because they want to make sure that they're serving the right God. See, serving the right God is getting rid of all those other ones, amen? And trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, not trusting in some statue. But there are many people who are living that way. You see, Jesus Christ is not just a God who needs to be added to the collection. He's not one who's to just get lost in the pile. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. And though we would condemn paganism and we would condemn false idols and would never bow down before an image made of stone or anything else, oftentimes we are guilty of being pagan in our own lives. I believe there are three particulars, if you will, given here in this passage when it comes to no other gods. Notice here, first of all, it forbids the making of graven images. Look at verse 4 through 6. Notice, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Here in this passage here in verse 4, notice, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Now, hopefully, if I was to ask the question and ask for a show of hands, now I'm not going to do that, but hopefully, if I was to do that, and I would say, if anyone has any graven images in their house that they bow down to each and every day, if I said, slip your hand up, and hopefully each and every one of us would keep our hands down, amen? Hopefully we don't have those graven images. We should not have some image in our house that we think is going to bring us good luck or anything like that. We should not have this Mother Mary standing in the flower bed, or some little idol in the shelf in our home, or any of those things. No, we should not make any graven image. We should not have those things before us. Yesterday I was joking with Joshua. We were out giving out John and Romans. Comes back to the van and he says, there was a Buddha statue on that porch up there. And I asked him, I said, well, did you rub his belly? He said, well, no, I didn't do that. And I said, why not? You see, there's all of these people, and they'll put those things in front of their homes. They'll put those things in their flower beds. Why? They think it gives them some sort of grace. They think it wards off evil things and it'll help them to have a safe home and all of those things. But God says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Notice He says, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Notice, He doesn't just stop with thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. No, He takes out any excuse that anybody would ever have. People could say, well, God made the sun, and there's people that worship the sun. They would say, God made the sun, so I can worship that. God says, no. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. He says, in the heaven above, in the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth there, there should be no graven images anywhere. Not only does it forbid making of graven images, notice it forbids bowing down to these graven images. You see, this bowing down, it has the idea of falling on one's face before someone or something. Now, we would all say, well, I don't do that. But in all reality, how many of us would be the ones to stay standing when everyone else bowed before the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar put up? You had all of these ones that had been taught the truth. You had all of these young people. These were the wise ones that had been taken captive, and they had been led into Babylon there. And these were the ones that seemed to be the ones that they could train and all of this. And when the music started and the whole processional started there, all of these people bowed down. Everybody that was around them, all of their friends and all of their acquaintances, their family members and all of this, they all bowed down before the image. Now, we would like to say to ourselves, well, I would have been one of the three that was standing. But would we? And if we were the ones who were standing, if we were taken into the palace there, and the king was told that we did not bow down to the image, and the king looked at it and said, okay, here's the deal. Everyone was supposed to bow. But here's what I'm going to do. Since you didn't bow out there, what I'll do is I'll give you the opportunity to bow in here. No one will see you. It'll just be me. Just bow. How many of us would have bowed then? King Nebuchadnezzar says, I'll give you a second chance. Just bow down. Would we bow? What if we were told that if we didn't obey, we would be cast into the fiery furnace? Would we bow then? See, if we are here tonight and we say that I wouldn't bow before that image, let me ask you this, then why are many believers, including ourselves, guilty of bowing down to things far less valuable many times in our lives? We should not bow down before anyone except for God. Notice there in verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. That leads us to the third thing here, under the particulars here. It forbids serving graven images. How much time do we spend with God? Think about the week. Think about how much time you spend throughout the day. How much time with God? And then after we think of that and we say, well, I spend this much time with God, let me ask you this. How much time do we spend on our phone? What about on the internet? What about doing our hobbies? What about all of these things? I enjoy hunting. I enjoy things in the outdoors and all of that. And those are not bad things. And all of these hobbies that we have, they're not bad things, but they can become idols. And many people, including believers, are serving other gods. Now, it may not be a statue standing in their home. It may not be some statue that they literally walk up to and physically bow before it. But if we're not bowing before God, we are bowing before something. We should not serve any graven images. Many believers will give more time to their pursuit of money or popularity than they will give to the pursuit of knowing God. Money in and of itself, of course, it's not a bad thing, but the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love that we discussed here when it says the love of money is talking about a worshipful love. If money is more important to us than the things of God, then something is wrong there. Then money has become our God. God help us if we as believers get more excited over the newest phone or the newest gadget or computer or car or some other device than we do about the things of God. You know, we live in a world that thrives on thrills and it thrives on sports and all of these things. And we've got this big game coming up, the Super Bowl. And you're going to have millions of people all across the world watching this one game here. And unfortunately, there's many believers who will miss church to watch that. Why is it? Because it's a god in their life. And they'll spend more time watching that game than they will with God. Many of them will spend more time watching that game than they've spent with God all year. Lord, let that not be so in our lives. See, this is the perfect picture of paganism and idolatry when someone will stay home from church, well, because I'm tired or because, well, I just had a long day. Well, that is going against God's word. What are we exalting above God? Church, we have got to see that anything that we put before God is an idol. And that is paganism. And God says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. See, God has no rivals. He's almighty. Yet we hold our own desires and our ambitions above Him day in and day out. And all other gods, they must be eradicated. They've got to be gone. Notice there in verse 5, the second phrase there, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, why is He a jealous God? Because of the beginning of that phrase, I, the Lord thy God. He said, I am your God. So I'll be jealous of anything else that you put in front of me. Many believers that say that He is their God, but yet they live a different way. When we consider the first two commandments, the first tells us who to worship, and the second tells us how to worship. Notice the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then in verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And then verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. And then lastly this evening, notice the passiveness towards the commandment. You know, as a whole, the mankind as a whole understands and obeys most of the commandments. Do a pretty good job at it, obeying these things. But yet men pay little attention to the first commandment. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 17. You know, it's easy for us as believers to say, well, mankind's just getting worse, and that's why they don't reverence God's word like they should, and all of those things. No, paganism's been going on since the beginning of time. Mankind, when man fell, is because it was because man exalted himself above God. He said, I want to do this, and he was worshiping himself. He was worshiping his own appetite. Notice here in Acts chapter 17 and verse 16, notice what was going on here in the city. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred, there's that word again, stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now the apostle Paul was there in the city, and he saw that the whole city was given to idolatry. This would be like walking down the street there and seeing that they've got idols over here, and you've got these witch doctors over here, and you've got these palm readers over here, and you've got these ones that are making these statues out of concrete and statues out of wood and all of these different things. And Paul is walking down through this city of Athens here, and he sees that everything, everywhere, everyone is given to idolatry. And he was stirred because of it. Talking about being stirred today. In Sunday school, we were talking about that. You know, seeing our world just as Paul saw it then. He saw it wholly given to idolatry. We can see the exact same thing in our world. But does it stir us? Are we stirred to see that? It's something that we see throughout many religions, but especially Roman Catholicism. You know, their buildings are filled with images and pictures and statues, and they pray towards these things. They are idols to them. You walk up to a home and you see a statue and all of those things. Why is that? Because it's an idol. As we discussed earlier, it's there to hopefully bring good grace to the home, to the ones that enter there. But notice that mankind is not just passive in one way, but Roman Catholicism, the Roman Catholic Church, has a different layout of the commandments than the other religions do. Here's what they do to the Ten Commandments. They combine the first and second commandment into one. So now you've got nine. Well, if we have nine, then we have to do something because the Bible says that there's ten. So what do? They take the last commandment and they split it into two. And you know what that does? When they take those first two commandments and they combine them, it places the focus on no other gods, but it ignores the forbidding of graven images. And that's why they did that. And that's what many of people today, believers and unbelievers, have done in their own minds. Moved it around to fit us, to fit how we feel, how we want to live. We would say, well, that's crazy. Why would men do that? Because they're trying to justify their beliefs. Trying to justify what they're doing. Notice verse 5 and 6. Notice, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. We see what happens to the ones who disregard the commandments of God. It's a truth that each and every one of us should understand. And God was telling them here that if they sin, if they did not keep His commandments, notice what He is saying here. That their great-grandchildren would reap the consequences. No matter what the devil tries to convince you of, though he may convince you that your sin only affects you and this idol, it doesn't affect anyone else, it only affects your life. No matter what he tries to convince us of, it affects everyone around us as well. And the Lord says here that four generations later would pay for the sins committed by the first generation. But he also gives hope in verse 6. He assures them and us that it pays to obey. Notice there, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I think all of us would say we want to live in the mercy of God. We would say that we want God to show mercy upon us and upon our family. It says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Same thing the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. He said that throughout the gospel accounts. See, the truth that underlines the pages of Scripture is that if we as believers keep God in His rightful place, if we understand who God is and what He has done for us, and He's in the right place, if we serve Him in sincerity and in truth, if we have no other gods before Him, if we serve Him out of love towards Him, then all of the other commandments are going to be obeyed. Why? Because we're going to desire to follow God. We're going to desire to obey His Word. Obedience is our love for God. And one man said this, but our failure to obey God shows our lack of love for God. We say we love God, but is He in the rightful place? What is in front of God in our lives? And it doesn't have to be something that in and of itself is sinful. Oftentimes when we think of a God, we think of a statue or something. But it's whatever we place before God. Anything and anyone that is before God is an idol in our life. And He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's